Tuesday, March 12th, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. Hopefully, we can make you smile once or twice a day. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. Somehow, we survived that Monday. And it was a little tougher this week because we also had to survive that Monday after daylight savings time. That change, I'm telling you, I know there are bigger problems in this world. That change kind of snuck up on me. I was hurting a little bit yesterday. Glad to put that Monday in our rearview mirror. Hey, today is actually the anniversary of one of the most amazing displays that we've ever seen in the NBA. Did you realize that? Because it was on this day, back in 1985, that Boston Celtics legend Larry Joe Bird dropped 60 points on the Atlanta Hawks. And I mean, Bird went off. He did it on 22 of 36 shooting. Hey, that's shooting pretty good. And you know what's amazing? He went just 1 of 4 from three-point range. It wasn't a bunch of threes. Somehow, Larry was scoring baskets without using that three-point line. He did go 15 of 16 from the free throw line. That helps quite a bit. But here's what's amazing. He scored 32 points in just 14 second half minutes of playing time. He just started filling it up in the second half. He was feeling it and he got it going. An absolutely amazing performance. But that's actually not the amazing display I'm talking about. Because the amazing display I'm referring to actually came from the Atlanta Hawks bench, as every time Bird drops another bomb on their team in the Celtics 126-115 blowout win, if you watch the Atlanta Hawks bench, they are falling all over themselves. They're almost laughing. They're throwing towels in the air. They're high-fiving each other. They're hugging each other. They're cracking up. I'm telling you, it is really, really good stuff. Go find it on YouTube. You will be highly entertained as Bird is torching the Hawks. The Hawks bench is celebrating like he's on their team. They're laughing at their own teammates for getting torched by Larry Joe Bird. In fact, here is a clip courtesy of the NBA.
Dennis Johnson, a lead for Bird.
They want him to keep scoring too.
Bird takes the jumper and hits it again. Bird has 54. One more basket will tie the record McHale set for most points by a Celtic in one game, and McHale didn't set it more than a week ago.
Now, they say that Bird was doing some serious talking throughout this game. And of course, Larry Bird was always talking. He did it quietly. He didn't make it a big thing. If you watch carefully, though, you can see his mouth moving. They said that he would be coming down the floor, dribbling up the floor, and saying, "Hey, this shot's going up from the trainer's lap," and then just bury another one. The Hawks bench was in fact so bad in celebrating during Bird going off in this game that Atlanta Hawks head coach Mike Fratello got so angry at the players, he fined them for celebrating when Bird was lighting up their team. They're saying he fined four or five of them $500 for acting up on the bench, and you can still go watch this game on YouTube. Absolutely an amazing game in NBA history, and it does kind of remind you just how good Larry Bird was, because his range was, once he set foot in the gym, he was just a deadly, deadly shooter. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, maybe tell us your favorite NBA performance of all time. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can go over and find us on Facebook or Twitter. You know, we do get people reaching out to us over on Facebook or Twitter, and it might just be a quick question. Hey, what did you think of this free agent signing? Hey, what did you think of this trade? Feel free to reach out to us. We'll always get you an answer. We just might end up using it on the show, but we would love to hear from you. The best part about doing the Daily Dose, we actually have smart listeners. You want a dose of common sense, and you have common sense, because when we hear from you, we actually get really smart questions. Feel free to reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Search Daily Dose and pick up some of that new Daily Dose gear we put over there. Yes, we have our original Daily Dose gear over there, but now we also have our Daily Dose investigative team gear over there so that you can look just like our team that is out in the field tracking down those highly secretive sports stories that you know you love. We've got hoodies over there. We've got t-shirts. We've got coffee mugs, laptop cases, stickers, a number of Daily Dose items that are over there. And you know, one of the cool things about ordering t-shirts or hoodies or sweatshirts or whatever, at tpublic.com. You can order them in whatever color you want. So if there's a certain color that you prefer, you can still go get that color with our Daily Dose logos on it. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear. Hey, today on the show, we've got something a little bit different for you this week, as we are going to be joined by a longtime friend of the show to help get us ready for March Madness. March Madness is coming next week. Selection Sunday is on Sunday. Those goofy play-in games or whatever, I think they start on Tuesday, and then that full slate of games gets rolling next Thursday. Cannot wait for March Madness. But before we do that, we may have to talk a number of other things with him too, because longtime high school basketball coach Russ McKinstry is going to be stopping by here in a few minutes. He is going to talk some college hoops with us. But you know, he also just knows sports in general. He has coached high school basketball for years, but he has also been involved in sports administration for decades. So we have someone that really knows sports. And when we get him to come in, you know, I like to hammer him with a lot of different things because he knows the NFL. He knows the NBA. He knows college basketball, college football. He can pretty much talk anything we want to. In fact, he can probably talk baseball if I really wanted to go that path. But I don't know if I'm going to go there this week, but we've got a lot to talk about with Russ McKinstry. He'll be joining us shortly. But first, the NFL's legal tampering period began yesterday as NFL teams are now allowed to start negotiations with free agent players in hopes of getting deals done by tomorrow afternoon. Then those deals can be official. Now, legal tampering, I don't know why they call it that. It is one of those oxymorons that makes no sense whatsoever, you know, like religious tolerance or government ethics or whatever. But hey, that's what they call it. And we did have a number of moves already being announced yesterday. First up, former Jacksonville Jaguars and Denver Broncos defensive tackle Malik Jackson is expected to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going to get 3 years and $30 million. The Eagles were expected to make a move to sign Jackson because they had agreed to trade defensive lineman Michael Bennett to the New England Patriots, you'll remember. Jackson is going to be plugged in next to Fletcher Cox, and that should be one of the more disruptive defensive tackle lineups in the NFL. That's a pretty good move for the Eagles. Not only did the Eagles lose Michael Bennett, but they had also declined Tim Jernigan's $11 million option for 2019. So they needed someone in the middle. Malik Jackson should be able to fill that void a little bit. But you know, it's interesting because Malik Jackson had signed the richest contract in Jacksonville Jaguars history just 3 years ago in 2016. But he was released by Jacksonville on March 8th after his playing time had kept decreasing over the season. And eventually, he wasn't even a starter anymore. And here is a prime example of teams that claim they won free agency. Because remember when Jacksonville signed Malik Jackson and they signed Calais Campbell and they were all telling us, hey, look, we won free agency. Well, let's kind of wait and see. And don't look now. This year, we have a few new contenders to win free agency already. Former New England Patriots left tackle Trent Brown says he intends to sign a 4-year $66 million contract that includes nearly $37 million guaranteed. Yes, with those Oakland Raiders. The $16.5 million average annual value of the deal is the highest for an offensive lineman in the league. Now, like I said, these deals can't be announced officially until Wednesday at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time when the 2019 season officially begins. But these are the deals that are coming. And you know, this is going to be the second straight year that the New England Patriots have lost their starting left tackle. They're going to have to go find someone else. Because in 2018, you remember, Nate Solder signed with the New York Giants when he became a free agent. And you know, Trent Brown had played way better than expected for the New England Patriots last year. When they signed him, they were looking at him and saying, well, maybe he'll have to play on the right side. We're not sure if he can actually be the true blindside defender. But Brown came in, he did a phenomenal job, he got better as the year went on, and by the first practice of voluntary workouts, they had him plugged in at left tackle. He did a pretty good job all year. In all, Trent Brown played 97% of the offensive snaps for the New England Patriots during the 2018 regular season. And the Patriots offensive line, which struggled early, especially, we saw in the playoffs, hey, Tom Brady had plenty of time to throw. He wasn't getting pressured, he was barely getting touched. That offensive line got much better, and a lot of that was due to the play of Trent Brown. And now he's going to join the Oakland Raiders. And they do need some help up front. But it isn't just the Raiders who have been active in free agency so far. No, the Detroit Lions have managed to get slot receiver and former Patriot Danny Amendola a new deal. They also grabbed former Patriots defensive end Trey Flowers. He agreed to a 5-year deal with the Lions that is expected to be between $16 and $17 million a year. That's not all. The Lions have been busy. They signed defensive back Justin Coleman to a 4-year deal worth $36 million. They also signed former Pittsburgh Steelers tight end Jesse James. Hey, right now, the Detroit Lions and the Oakland Raiders are absolutely winning free agency in a big way, too. That's a really good sign, right? I mean, the teams that win free agency, they win important games, don't they? We see major progress when you win free agency. I mean, just like, you know, Jacksonville a couple years ago. Look at what they did. And usually, you know, teams like Tampa Bay, they usually win free agency. Let's see. Buffalo usually wins free agency. Miami, we usually see the Miami Dolphins, they win free agency a lot. Those teams are always super good, right? I'm not so sure. Let's see who else was putting together contracts yesterday. The Washington Redskins grabbed former Giants safety Landon Collins. That deal is 6 years, $84 million. He's going to get $45 million in guaranteed money. That's a ton of money. Former Tampa Bay Buccaneers linebacker Quan Alexander says he plans to sign a 4-year, $54 million deal that includes $27 million guaranteed with the San Francisco 49ers. That is way too much money for Quan Alexander. But the problem for San Francisco, they lost Reuben Foster because, I mean, he's kind of crazy. So they had to do something. They had to go get someone. And so they're going to pay Quan Alexander way too much money. The Buffalo Bills signed running back Frank Gore to a 1-year, $2 million deal. I don't know if Frank Gore can even still run. He is like the fourth leading rusher of all time in NFL history, but I don't know how much he still has in the tank. You know, honestly, I can't keep up with every single signing that was coming out yesterday. I don't know. Maybe at some point we're going to need to recap all of these, but here is the one thing that is occurring to me on this legal tampering period day that we saw yesterday, just a flurry of activity in the NFL. So many times we are seeing these free agency signings basically as band-aids to fix all the screw-ups. We see so many teams make mistakes in the NFL draft. They go gamble on a linebacker. He doesn't turn out. Okay, we got to get someone. Let's go get someone in free agency. He'll be good enough. So they go sign him to a huge, huge contract. Hey, we missed on a quarterback. Let's go sign someone in free agency. We've got to somehow patch up that area. We missed on a few offensive linemen. Let's go sign them. We missed on a pass rusher. Let's go get this guy in free agency. And basically all it is band-aids to cover the screw-ups that these teams have made in the draft and in past free agent signings that have already failed. So I know a lot of times we are looking at NFL free agency and we're saying, hey, this team won because they were really active. This team won. Look how many signings they had. But a lot of times what we're actually seeing, the teams that are the most active in free agency are the teams that have had the worst drafts. And so they're trying to hide a number of the flaws in their team. Hey, make no mistake about it. You can help your team in free agency, but great teams are built in the draft, not in free agency. And in looking at this, we have so many free agent signings that are basically just band-aids to hide terrible draft picks. I'm really surprised we're not seeing the Denver Broncos be way, way more active. Hey, coming back, we are going to be joined by basketball coach Russ McKinstry to just talk all things sports. Yes, we do need to discuss some NFL. We need to talk a little bit about the NBA, what he thinks is going to be happening this year, and we really need to start getting ready for March Madness. Hey, Coach Mack knows his college hoops. We are going to get to him right after this. Hey, joining us right now, a great friend of the Daily Dose, a guy that has taught me a ton, not just about coaching, but just about sports, about life in general. So you do have to blame Russ McKinstry for anything that you hear from me. Russ McKinstry coached high school basketball in Colorado, Kansas, and Arizona. He has won over 400 games. He has won two state titles. He has sent players to college. He has sent players to the NBA. He has sent players overseas. He has sent me to the loony bin. Coach Mack, thank you so much for joining us today. We always enjoy your visits to the Daily Dose.
Hey, crazy man. That's a great introduction. I think all that is accurate, especially the last comment you made about being loony. So it's a pleasure to be back with you. It's been too long.
Coach, it is an exciting time of year. March Madness is like nearly here, and we have conference tournaments rolling. We are going to discuss that at length in a few, but I've got a question for you before we get into that. You were a young kid growing up in Colorado, rural Colorado at that. Who was the college basketball team that you grew up following? Because our college basketball here in the Centennial State, it's pretty mediocre, to be very honest. Who are you cheering for as a kid growing up?
Honestly, I was a Roy Williams fan. I knew fairly early that I wanted to be a coach, and I just kind of gravitated to Roy Williams. So I was a Rock Chalk Jayhawk fan.
Okay.
Always very loyal to Colorado, but you're right. It's the equivalent of being a Cleveland Browns football fan.
Yeah.
Success is few and far between. And you really appreciate and enjoy when those few times come that they are in the hunt. But, you know, besides Chauncey's run there, there hasn't been a whole lot of glory years for the good old CU Buffs.
No, they just haven't had much. And in the whole state, we just don't get a whole lot basketball-wise here. We get, at times, we get some good high school athletes come through here. Really been tough to build a consistent program here in the state of Colorado. So anytime we're cheering for college basketball, we're always having to go outside and, I don't know, pick a new team to cheer for, like find that underdog that you want to kind of cheer for.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, Kansas was fairly close to Colorado, and I did grow up in Northeast Colorado, so Kansas was just a hop, skip, and a jump away. So that was my chosen team, and loved following them during their years under Roy Williams. And now that Roy's at North Carolina, I kind of favor North Carolina as well. So, but yeah, you know, it's good to see CU made a nice run here at the end, and hopefully they do some good things in the conference tournament. And I don't see an NCAA bid coming, but, you know, maybe they'll sneak into the NIT and win a couple of games.
Yeah, and I want to talk some March Madness. But, you know, we only get Coach Mack to join us here a few times a year. So when he does stop by, we feel like we have to cover a number of subjects because for some reason, he still insists on, you know, having a job and going to that job every day. So we have to just talk about as much as we can when we do get him to visit. So Coach Mack, I've got a lot of things for you today. I hope you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's first off start in the NFL. And as bizarre as it is, because here we are in early March, we are seeing some crazy things happen in the NFL personnel-wise. But before we get to that, Coach, those darn New England Patriots did it again. They just keep winning Super Bowls.
Well, the power of culture and the power of Brady, knowing and understanding how to win, knowing who you are, as a team, they have an identity. They stick to their plan. They never waver or deviate, and they always seem to be one step ahead of everybody else in the NFL when it comes to personnel decisions and schemes. And yeah, you know, Josh, good old Josh, our former Bronco head coach, and Belichick and Brady. Sometimes they're easy to hate, but deep down, you have to really respect what they do as a franchise, and you know, as a NFL dominant type team that just makes you want to just beat your head up. But they're just so good at what they do.
Well, they are, and I'm glad you brought that up because we do get caught into that whole thing of you hate the Patriots. It's so easy to hate them. We've seen like some of the cheating stuff, and it does get on your nerves. But you do kind of have to stop yourself and say, wait a second, we are witnessing greatness. I know it's kind of frustrating, but we are witnessing something that we may never see again.
Yeah, I doubt if we do. Probably not for sure in our lifetimes will we see something like this, a run in the NFL. It's just too difficult to pull off. And that consistency and Super Bowls that they're racking up at a rate that is just unprecedented. Yeah, I don't ever see it happening again. And yeah, you better, you know, if you just step back and take your emotional, personal agendas out of it and just look at it from a global perspective, the big view. Very, very special times for them. And I do. I really, it's like when the Cornhuskers were under Osborne and ripping through everybody here in college football 20 years ago or so, whatever it was, kind of the same feeling. I hated them with a passion, but deep down, I studied them. I admired them, respected them, wanted to know more about what they do. And that's kind of the same way I feel about the Patriots. I'd love to be the fly on the wall or the mouse in the corner that could just watch them, you know, operate day in and day out, because whatever they do inside the buildings there that they call home, it's really amazing what they're able to do.
Coach, aside from the Patriots, there is a team that I'm looking at right now, and they should be good for a long time, and they gave New England all they wanted in that AFC Championship game. We're going to have to deal with the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC West for a while, aren't we?
Yeah, it's, you know, now, you know, it's amazing how things balance out, or karma, or whatever you want to call it, and in life and sports. You know, now we know what everybody felt like when we had Elway, you know, and we went on 15, 16 years of Elway-led supremacy in the AFC West. And we, you know, we were so spoiled by what he brought to the table. And honestly, I think Mahomes might be even a little bit more special than Elway. And that pains me to say, because I hold Elway in such high regard as a player. But yeah, with Mahomes there, if he stays healthy and the things that he can do, which is to me almost magical, it's going to be, you know, a long 12, 15 years for us. And we better start making some good decisions at the Broncos, you know, in that organization, or it's going to be trouble for us.
Coach, you bring up the Broncos. You and I can talk Broncos for about 6 days. I'm getting real concerned. This Denver Broncos team is a mess. Trading for Joe Flacco, there's a number of things that I look at when I see that trade. One, I don't like the trade football-wise, because we don't know if Flacco's healthy. He hasn't played good football in a number of years now. He's really, really struggled just on the football field. But two, forget the football stuff. If you look at it from a business perspective, it doesn't make any sense, because you ended up with two quarterback contracts. You had to ship Case Keenum off. Now you're sitting there trying to juggle. Okay, you still don't have your long-term quarterback solution. You still haven't figured that out. And now you have a guy who has been off injured, who has struggled a lot. And it tells me this more than anything. It tells me that John Elway is a little bit delusional, because I think he truly believes the Broncos are a small tweak, just that little quarterback. That's how close they are to being a contender. And I think he's way, way off.
Yeah, and I know you and I haven't talked in a while, a few months, and we haven't talked about that particular move by the Broncos, but I totally agree with you 100%. I was just flabbergasted, shocked, disappointed, despondent when that move was made, because I thought maybe Case was the turning point for John, that he would finally learn that, you know, the current way they're doing business just isn't going to work. And I think, to me, the biggest problem is, I think, obviously, that John is set in his ways, but I think he has a number of yes men around him. Matt Russell, you know, it was Gary Kubiak, who maybe could differ from a viewpoint with Elway, and they could maybe, as equals, discuss that. But I even question that. But I think Elway's in control. There's nobody to question his thought process. Nobody to question his personnel decisions. And they're just agreeing to go along with Elway's vision. And I don't think Elway really has a vision, unless it's what you say. It's, hey, I think we're just this player away, and we've got all the pieces except for a consistent mid-level quarterback. And if we have that, then our defense is going to carry us to our next championship, which is obviously, you know, even jokers, knuckleheads like you and me can see that that's not going to work. I mean, they're so far away, it's unbelievable.
Well, they are, and the biggest problem with this team has been the offensive line. So you're going to take a guy who has not been healthy, and you're going to put him behind the same offensive line and somehow expect a different scenario to come out. Coach, you know, when we were coaching together, there were a number of coaches out there that subscribed to that whole art of war stuff, and you and I always kind of laughed at it and said, man, this isn't war. We're coaching basketball. We're not going down that whole war thing. But one of the things that was taught in that whole art of war thing was this: know thyself. I don't think John Elway knows his own team, and that's really, really horrifying to me.
No, and unfortunately, I think it seems to be an arrogance within the organization of refusal to do self-reflection, to really study from outside, a within type of mentality of, really, what have we done wrong? What can we do to correct the mistakes we've made? And really, what do we need to do to get back on track? I just think it's helter-skelter, you know, piece it together, fly by the seat of your pants. And they don't have any visionaries in their organization at the football level to really shake things up and really get to the crux of what's going on. And the fact is, I mean, you're paying a lot of defensive players a whole lot of money, including Von Miller, which, you know, Von's a great player, but the game has changed so dramatically that everybody and their brother knows you got to have the young, athletic, dynamic quarterback. You've got to put a lot of money into your offensive personnel. You've got to get some new ideas and schemes from fresh coaches on your staff. And we are doing exactly the opposite in every move we make. So that's very concerning for me. I can't even get excited about next year. Dales, you know how much I am passionate about football and love my Broncos, but I am honestly thinking about reserving my tee times and hitting 18 holes and maybe catch the last 5 minutes of the game at the end of the day, because I'm just not very excited.
No, and there's not a whole lot to be excited about. I will say this, though, and when I say this, a lot of people are going to say, oh, you're crazy. If there's one team that's giving me a little bit of hope that maybe the Broncos aren't the biggest mess, the Oakland Raiders go out this past weekend and they make a trade to get Antonio Brown. And the trade itself, when you just look at a third and a fifth rounder, okay, that's not bad. But when you're talking about giving this knucklehead $30 million guaranteed dollars, I go, wait, what? Are you kidding me? That is ludicrous to me. And they give me hope that maybe we aren't the biggest knuckleheads in the league right now.
You know, and I really did almost halfway expect that we would end up with Antonio Brown.
I did too.
I when I heard that the trade had been consummated on Friday, I didn't even want to look because I thought, oh my gosh, it's going to be the Broncos. But yeah, I'm glad that John Gruden has drank the poison because that guy, you know, if you listen to him or look at his approach to football, he is so off kilter and, like you said, delusional. He doesn't deal in the world of reality. And, you know, it's similar to what you see in the NBA with guys that really just want to promote their brand. It's not about playing football anymore. It's about how much money can I grab and set myself up for my life after football. And he has no interest in making his football team better, no loyalty. And you could go on and on and on about the dysfunction of Antonio Brown. So thank God we didn't do that, yes.
Well, and when you see John Gruden go out there and deal a Khalil Mack and say, we can't afford to pay that guy, and we deal Amari Cooper, we can't afford to pay that guy, but you go pay this guy. Hey, from what I understand, Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, you can argue about their production or whatever, both pretty decent guys. They weren't causing problems in the locker room, but this guy, that's who you're going to pay. And more importantly, that's the example you're going to set to your team. These are the kind of guys we want on our team. I mean, I guess that's not how I build a franchise.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if, you know, the ghost of Al Davis came to John Gruden in the middle of the night and said, hey, Johnny, this would be a great move. Cause it sounds like an Al Davis move.
Yes, it does.
Back when the Renegade Raiders, you know, were filled with, you know, prison cast-offs and
right
kids off the, you know, the gangs and, you know, and they were the thugs of the NFL. But the nice thing about what happened back then was John Madden could get them to come together as a group. And we know what they did as far as their success on the field, maybe not so much off the field, but on the field, they were pretty tough. But I don't know. I don't know about this one. It makes no sense at all.
No, it doesn't. Coach, NFL draft is coming quickly. What are your thoughts on Kyler Murray? Can this kid play? I mean, he's not very big. He did measure in at around 5'10". What do you think of Kyler Murray?
You know, I do think he can play. Dells, and I hate the whole NFL draft and combined with the NFL combine where everything's based on measurables. Yeah. You and I both know that so much of it's just the can you play in the eyeball test.
Yep.
He passes the eyeball test. Back last year, we talked about it. Baker Mayfield passes the eyeball test. And, you know, if a guy can go out and play at Oklahoma against the type of teams that he plays against, and he can be the best or second best player on the field day in, week out, you know, week in, week out. If he's the best player on the field, there's something really special about that kid that no matter where he goes, NFL, college, if he can do that at that level, then if he wants to, if he's committed to being an NFL football player, then he's going to be successful. So I think it's in his court, you know, ball's in his court. If he really wants to succeed, there's no doubt I think he's going to be very good in NFL.
Yeah, I do too. And you know when he really showed me something, and it's kind of bizarre, but when I was watching the second half of that playoff game against Alabama, and Alabama's pushing them around. Alabama's hammering Kyler Murray. He's getting beat up. Alabama's blowing them out. And he started to make plays and kind of shine even in adversity. And I went, wait a second, that kid's better than I thought he was. And I thought he was good. He was a little bit better than I thought he was. And he showed me that there. When you have to undergo some things like that, I want to see what guys look like after an interception. I know you're great when things are going well. I want to see what you do when things aren't going so well. Hey, we still have a number of things to cover with Coach McKinstry. I want to talk a little bit more about the NFL draft this year. I do want to talk some NBA. And like I said, we are going to get you ready for March Madness. Who are the teams that you want to keep an eye on? Who are a few teams that just might let you down? And what in the world is going on with that whole college basketball coaching scandal? Are we ever going to see some major heads fall in that whole situation? We still have a lot to get to with Russ McKinstry this week. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Tuesday. For all of you that reach out and text us and message us and send us questions, thank you so much. They are all very appreciated. And for all of you that share the show, thank you so much. We cannot get new listeners without you sharing the show. We appreciate that more than you can ever know. Hey, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear. You know you need some Daily Dose gear in your life. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.